All right, guys, so let me, before I kind of help you remind you where we looked at so far before we continue on, let me ask you a question. When you think about end time prophecy, the prophecies concerning Jesus Christ, what do you, when you think about you with regards to that, what do you tend to focus on? Do you understand what I'm asking? When you think about prophecy, or when you want to think about prophecy or discuss it, what do you tend to focus your attention on? You still don't know what I'm talking about? What I'm asking? What's that? Okay, so your focus is, okay, what about us as believers? How do we fit into it? When do we leave? Okay, that, all right, Tim. So Tim got what I was saying. Anybody else got a thought? What do you think most of the teachings about prophecy are about? Let me ask it that way. When you look at passages that teach about the second coming, what do you think most of them are about? Okay. Okay, so you're thinking about it in terms of your response to it, is what you're saying then. Okay, all right. All right, here's the reason why I'm asking, because most people, when we think about prophetic teaching from the Bible, we think in terms of it just tells us the events and what to look for. Would everybody agree with that? What I'm going to share with you, and this is a prime example of it, that whenever that is not the only reason why he presents prophetic material. So he'll present prophetic material and not give you any details. What he'll do is talk about prophetic material in a general sense and talk about what you should be doing now. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's still prophetic material, but he's talking about what you should be doing now. So for instance, with 2 Peter in chapter 3, we've pretty much have read most of it. We'll finish up the rest of it today. So has he been talking about when, where, how, what will happen in this passage? You need to go back and look through verses 1 through 13. Has he said anything there about what's going to happen with the second coming? Okay, say that again, Tim.
He hasn't been focused on that, like the seals and all that. He hasn't focused anything on that.
Okay. Okay, all right, that's good. So, he talked about scoffers. Beware of scoffers, okay? People who mock it and so forth. Trying to give you an understanding of why hasn't it happened yet, okay? So a day is as a thousand years to the Lord, a thousand years as a day. So this is what I want you to see is that when we talk about prophetic teaching in especially the New Testament, yes, there are prophetic teaching that give you the specifics of what's going to happen or give you an understanding of what's going to happen, even if they are imagery, okay? There is also the aspect of where there's prophetic teaching that talks about what you're to do right now. So a good example would be Matthew chapter 24 and 25. So in Matthew 24, Jesus he's asked, you know, he's got the disciples, they're coming and saying, look at all these great, wonderful buildings in the temple complex, and Lord, isn't this awesome? This is the temple. Because they're thinking he's going to be the king and he's coming back, and you know. And he says, not one stone's going to be standing upon another. Everything you see is going to be wiped out. And so when they're quietly with him later, they say, Can you explain that? Like, when's that going to happen? This is at the beginning of chapter 24. And then Jesus says, okay, here's what happens. He talks about what it's going to be like before the tribulation. He talks about the time of trouble, which is during the tribulation. And then he talks about his coming. All right? That's chapter 24. And then right after that teaching, he goes in, starting with the parable of the fig tree, all the way through 25, he goes through a series of parables that we tend to teach from beyond the parable of the fig tree, but we don't usually equate it with the end times. But it is. Chapter 25 are parables about what we should be doing in the meantime. Now, some of you are like, really? I thought the parable of the talents is in there, George. Okay, yes. So that's a good example. So how many of you remember how the parable of the talents begins? You know the parable of the talents? One guy got so many, another guy got so many, and the last guy only got one. He buried it. Okay. How does the parable begin? The master went away. And in the meantime, he's given them responsibilities. And then one day, he's what? Coming back, and they have to be held what? Accountable. They have to give an account. Do you understand? Now, does that sound like part of prophetic teaching? Who's going away? Who's coming back in the meantime? This is what's happening? Okay, so then if you look at the last parable that he gives in chapter 25 is the division of the sheep and the goats. And he divides the sheep from the goats, and he says to the goats, you know, depart from me, you wicked. I've never known you. And he's like, you weren't there for me. And they're like, Lord, when we weren't there, well, you didn't do this for the sick. You didn't visit me in prison. And he says to the sheep, enter into my rest. You know, you were there for me when you did this to the least of my brethren, you did it to me. Again, that's another parable talking about, in the meantime, before the judgment comes, what we're supposed to do. So what I want you to see is when we talk about prophetic material, we've got to get it in our mind. It's not just about just figuring out what's going to happen. It's about what we're supposed to do now. So he's been already, so let's kind of go back through it real quickly, okay? So he's already been discussing with us, we got to be aware of people who are going to confuse us. Scoffers who mock it. Well, where is he? It's been 2,000 years. Why hasn't he shown up yet? You know what I'm saying? And so he's saying that. He's talking about the whole issue of God's timing. Well, we talked about that. First of all, a day is as 1,000 years to the Lord, 1,000 years as a day. Well, you understand that when you realize who created time. God doesn't exist in time. So for him, one day, it's like 1,000 years. 1,000 years is like a day. You know, all of a sudden Jesus comes back, we're going to say, man, what took you so long? What do you mean, what took me so long? You know what I'm saying? That doesn't matter to him. He exists outside of time. Okay? So we see these things, and it's all to help us. Well, when we're told that God's timing's not our timing, that's just helping you to be what? Patient, right? Yeah, be patient. All right, now, so we talked to that. We looked at the day of the Lord as he describes it. It's going to happen suddenly. All the world as we know it is going to cease to exist. And he says, look with me, verse 11 and 12. We'll start there because we're going to go through the rest of the chapter. 11 and 12, look at what he says. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. All right, so look with me at verse 13. But according to his promise, we are waiting for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. All right, so let's go through here. All right, so because our world is headed to this end, we must be mindful of how we live. That's what he's saying. Because our world is headed to this end, you and I need to be mindful of what? How we live. Now, what do you think that means?
I think it's pretty self-explanatory, isn't it, George?
Now, what does that mean to you? Because you understand, okay, you understand the prophecies, you understand the teaching you've had over the years, you've got it in your mind, you understand the rapture's coming, you understand Jesus Christ is coming back, this is what's headed for Israel, this is what the judgment is. You understand all of that. What does this encouragement here, this is part of the prophetic material, what does that mean to you? Okay, living to please him and at peace with each other, loving each other. Yes, okay. Anybody else? Okay, that's good, Bruce. Did you hear what Bruce said? Bruce said, don't hold on tight to the things that are here. Do you think that's a good lesson? Well, we should be learning that lesson even if we don't think about the second coming, right? You know what I'm saying? Don't hold on tight, because have you ever held on tight to something and it break? You know what I'm saying? And you're like, you know, I've got pictures when I was a kid. I was thinking, man, my first car and everything. It's probably melted down somewhere, you know, 30, 40 years later. You know what I'm saying? Or in a scrapyard in South Carolina. Do you understand what I'm saying? And it was gone. It's gone. You know what I'm saying? Or if I brought it to Pennsylvania, it got smashed by a deer. You know what I'm saying? So, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, that's just reality, right? You learn, but here he's saying, like Bruce said, don't hold on to this world. Okay, so let's go on. We must be watchful for the coming of the Lord. Now, how do we do that practically? I mean, it's nice for me to say that, and you've heard lots of preachers say that. How do we do that practically? Okay, stay in his word. That's good, Tim. Anybody else? Okay, pay attention to prophecy. All right, so let me ask you a question beyond that, Bruce. So if I'm paying attention to prophecy, why would I do that? Okay, so you're not led astray. Anybody else? Why would you want to add something to what Bruce is saying? Okay, all right. So, okay, let me give you an example. Okay, so obviously you can't live in this world without paying attention to the news. Okay, the news is just happening all around us. So let's take what's happening right now in the Middle East with Israel. Anybody know that they're not in the news? They're in the news right there. Everybody's aware of that, right? It's always in the news, right? Now, have you noticed some things? What has stuck out to you for the last couple of years about what's going on in Israel? Anything got any impressions? Okay. People are trying to come up with a peace treaty. What are you thinking? Okay, no peace, constant war. Anybody else with a thought? This has been very evident since October 7th, the October 7th event. Anybody else notice something? Oh, you're talking about the different enemies. Okay, all right, that's good, Tim. Here's another one. Have you noticed how most of the world doesn't like them? Has that not been evident? I mean, it's become more evident. In fact, it's like they're coming out from under a rock around here, right?
You didn't used to hear the stuff you hear. When I was younger, everybody around here loved Israel because of what the Bible said.
Yes.
And then as they got, now you have people openly wanting Israel destroyed, and from America.
Yep. Yes. Okay, that's good, Bruce. So when you look at it, you're like, realize they're, most of the world doesn't like them. Okay? Now, does that fit into prophecy? Okay, so here's what I'm saying. So when you're a watchful, it's more than just, well, yeah, I believe he's coming. No, no, you understand prophecy. You understand where things are headed so that when you look at the world, you could say, yeah, we're moving there. I can see that. I can see that. I can see where Zechariah says that 2/3 of them will be wiped out. You know what I'm saying? Because the nations will gather against them. I can see that. I can see where that's the possibility of that's coming. What were you going to say, John? Yeah, it validates the proof, the truth of Scripture. Yes, that's exactly right. Because the Scripture tells you that they're not going to be liked. Yes, which also means I got to get ready. All right, so by the way, when you look at what's happening in the Middle East, how's that impacting you right now? How's that impacting you when you look at what's happening and the world's attitudes towards Israel? Is that impacting you? Well, it's heartbreaking, yeah, Gene. Is that impacting you? Okay, that's good. All right, let's start there. Bruce said, should be strengthening your faith because you're seeing prophecy coming to light. Let's move beyond that. What should we be doing if we see this is happening? Pray. Okay, that's good. What else? Okay, yes, telling others about what? Jesus Christ, okay? Because look what it says. We must be watchful for the coming of the Lord. When you see these things happening, it makes it very real that we're moving closer, right? So when you look at it, you don't need to be like, man, what is this going to do to me? What, you know, or just blow it off. I'm tired of hearing about them. No, no, listen. You need to say, whoa, whoa, whoa. Am I living in the time of his coming? Yeah, am I living in a time, so therefore, am I ready? Is he going, do you understand? Am I ready? Like, okay, can I ask you a question? How quickly can we move troops into countries now? Anybody? How quickly can we? Yeah, my brother was part of a mechanized brigade out of Fort Stewart, Georgia, and when Saddam Hussein invaded Kuwait, within a day they were in Saudi Arabia on the border and stayed there for 9 months in the desert until the shock and awe thing was over, and they went over into Iraq up to the Euphrates. That didn't take long for them to move that many men, boom, right there. Okay? Now, you think back, if we lived 1,000 years ago, how quickly could we have moved armies into, not that quick, but now, right? So we should be allowing the Scripture to guide us how we're supposed to be right now. He's telling us, be watchful. In hope, we look to the coming of the new heavens and the new earth. That's what we're looking forward to. Because when he talks about the new heavens and the new earth, that's more than just, this is not talking about the kingdom. Okay, we're going to be a part of the kingdom. But this is after the final judgment where we enter into eternity. Okay, where we enter into eternity. That's when the new heavens and the new earth is. If you know from Revelation, it's right after the great white throne judgment that what? The old things are passed away, the new heaven and the new earth comes down, the new Jerusalem. We're going to be a part of that. So this should be what we are looking at. So let's look now. We're going to look at the final words of what he says here, verses 14 through 18. Therefore, beloved, since we are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. Count the patience of the Lord as salvation. just as our beloved Paul also wrote according to the wisdom given to him, as he does in all his letters when he speaks in them of these matters. There are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction as they do other scriptures. You, therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory now and to the day of eternity. Amen. All right, so this is the conclusion. He's going to kind of wrap it all up, and of course he's wrapping up this prophetic session. So what is he talking about here? First of all, live in such a way that you will be found blameless when Christ returns. Live in such a way that you will be found blameless. Have you ever been caught doing something? So I remember when I was a preteen, my brother and I, we were only 11 and a half months apart. When we were younger, they thought we were twins, but we were definitely different. But we used to, like most brothers, fought each other a lot, okay? We used to get into fights over stupid stuff. And I remember one time we were fighting in the hallway of my parents' house. And now, we're not little people. I was skinny, but I was a big boy, and he was a big boy. So we're wrestling around in the hallway till it was either me or him went into a wall and broke the sheetrock. You could tell this wasn't like just something that happened. It was very much the impression of a body went into the wall. And when that happened, immediately we stopped. And we forgot about what we were fighting about, and we tried to decide, how are we going to explain this? Well, obviously we didn't. We got in some serious trouble. We got caught. I mean, talk about deer in a headlight look, okay? He's telling us here, you need to live in such a way that you will be found blameless. Because, okay, everything we've talked about, when's Jesus coming back? Is he going to give us a boarding call? Gate departing at 6 minutes. No, he's not giving us. Is he just going to show up suddenly? Yeah. What's that? Like a thief in a night. Yeah. How many of you know when the thief shows up at your house, right? You don't. The point is, you need to be ready. Do you understand what I'm saying? Or we're going to be what? Embarrassed, right? Embarrassed, okay? Embarrassed. So live in such a way that you will be found blameless when Christ returns. This is why he's telling us this. It's great for us to have all this knowledge about when he's coming and rest on that. Well, I'm going to be a part of the rapture and I won't have to go through this, blah, blah, blah. Fine, but what's that doing for you right now? What's that doing for you right now? And are you living in such a way that if he returns, and really, do you believe he's going to return? Because if you believe he's going to return, that should have an impact on what? On how, it should be impacting us in several ways, on how we're living our lives right now, but also, which is kind of what he's alluding to here next, the patience of God allows for the salvation of others. I'm going to be honest with you, always connected with the issue of eschatology and the return of Jesus Christ is the reality of the salvation of the lost. Because as long as he's not back here, there's still time, right? There's still time for our loved ones to what? Yeah, to get saved. So are you praying? Are you looking for opportunities to share with them or to share with your friends or share with your neighbors or share with the people that you're working with? Do you understand this? Remember I told you that one of the things that happens when we quit talking about Jesus' second coming is we forget about our own lives and how we're living now, but the second thing we forget about is the responsibility that we have to what? Tell others about Jesus, okay? So he's just saying, all right, yeah, he hasn't showed up yet, but that's just the patience of God because he's what? The scripture says he's willing that none should what? Perish. Do you understand? He doesn't want people to go to hell. Again, Old Testament, he doesn't delight in the destruction of the wicked. Now, he is just and he does punish. But as long as there's time, there is still time for what? Salvation, repentance. Okay, let's go on now. Here it is. This is the testimony of Scripture, including the works of Paul. What he's saying here is the testimony of Scripture. And notice something. This is one part of Scripture affirming another part of Scripture. I hear some people sometimes, oh, that's just Paul. That's just Paul. Really? Peter says, yeah, Paul's sometimes hard to understand, but, and he references Paul in equation with other, and he says it himself, other scripture. Look at what he says here. He says, verse 16, as he does in all his letters, when he speaks in them of these matters, there are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do the other scriptures. So there, he's basically saying Paul's letters, we have 12 of them, are what? Scripture. And they testify to what he's talking about here, okay? They testify to what he's talking about here. That should help you be assured about what you're reading, because sometimes you might get a doubt in your mind. Is this really from him? No, it's Scripture. It's inspired by the Spirit. Here it is. We must be on guard against anything that would lead us astray. Now, is this something you have to be proactive about? Yeah. Okay, that's good. All right, did you hear what John said? The less time we spend in God's word, the more we will be susceptible to what? False teaching. You understand? The more we'll be susceptible to it. The less you spend, the more you'll be susceptible. That reading God's word is hearing from God for your life, but it's also reinforcing your life to live in this world. Because not everybody's happy about your relationship with Jesus. Not everybody wants to see you grow in your relationship with Jesus. You know what I'm saying? You also have a spiritual enemy that is real that wants you to be defeated and useless. Okay? And useless. So here it is. Here's the encouragement then. We are to grow in grace and in our relationship with Jesus Christ. That's how he's wanting us to understand. We're to grow in grace and our relationship. It has to be an active thing. So then what we see in verse 18 then is the doxology. Peter gives glory to Christ forever and ever. He gives glory to Christ forever and ever.